together in the air.
Thank you very much, and I feel very much at home in American Legion headquarters. And it kind of reminds me of my first day on the campaign trail. I went up to Seattle, Washington, where I was privileged to address the National American Legion meeting. Governor Carter had been there just the day before, and he sort of used the American Legion to enunciate his views on amnesty. Now, he, of course, knew that the American Legion had a policy against amnesty. So as he always does, trying to have it both ways, he got up to the microphone. He said, "Now, I'm against amnesty, but I'm for a blanket pardon." Well, I was new in the game. It was my first day, so I thought I'd better check my dictionary. And looked under amnesty, and it says pardon. And I want to tell this audience that that's the way he's been talking ever since that time, trying to have it both ways, but even more importantly, the Ford Dole administration will be opposed to any blanket pardon or blanket amnesty or blanket clemency, and let me tell you why. There's still hundreds of Americans missing in Southeast Asia, and I just sort of have a gut feeling that we've got to get our priorities right in this country. We better concern ourselves about those forgotten Americans in Southeast Asia before we start worrying about those who left this country in a time of need. And that's going to be our commitment. That's the same Governor Carter who wants gun control. I think what we need are mandatory sentences for those who commit a crime with a gun instead of trying to register and license every gun owner in America. And again, that's our position. And their position is for registration and licensing of owners of handguns. I don't think you want that. You don't have to have that if you vote against Carter and Mondale on next Tuesday and vote for President Ford, a great American leader. Governor Carter is coming out here Sunday night. Yeah, it's too bad. He's got to go somewhere, and you lost. But I know where he's going on Wednesday. Going back to Plains, and he and Billy are going to gas it up down there. Now, I just hope that, just to keep remind you of what ticket you're voting for, you're drinking your pineapple juice every day. It's a lot better for you than peanut butter. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, and there are a lot of other good reasons. people ask me how I got into politics, and I'll tell you very quickly. When I first went to Congress back in 1961, and Congressman Ketchum knows this, when you first go, people ask you to go around and speak, even though you're not too good. He is. I'm not, but I wasn't. I learned a lot of listening to Hubert and some of the others, but I remember I went to Indiana one time, and I arrived on a Saturday afternoon about this time. The county chairman rushed up and said, "Our advance ticket sale is already up to 10. And the poor guy was beside himself because they had the hall rented, and so he rushed me out to a radio station trying to rev up some interest in the dinner that night. And so they went through all my history. That they didn't know whether I was Bob Dole or Bob Doyle, and some don't know the difference yet, but as long as you vote for Ford, I'll make it, so don't worry about my name. But so we went out to the radio station, and they said that I was born and all the other things are necessary, that I came from Kansas and I represented a big district, and said that I was wounded in the war and all of that. So we left the station and started back to Rensselaer. The announcer was summarizing our visit, and he said, "Congressman Bob Dole will speak tonight, born in Kansas, raised in Kansas, and so forth." Said, "Prior to World War II, he was a pre-medical student. He suffered a serious head injury in the war, and then went into politics." So that's how I've been able to stand it all these years. But I want to talk seriously just for a few minutes. I've been down to the headquarters, and I'm very impressed. In fact, I picked up the phone, and I, strictly at random, because they had Janet Brown, I think, on the phone. And so I just asked her who she was going to vote for and told her I was, and we're going to vote for you. Now, maybe it was all late on, I don't know, but I thought it was a random call. And she seemed very encouraged, and I think we have every right to be encouraged in the great state of California. The polls indicate we're 6 points ahead. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Or that Carter's six behind, whichever you like best. And we have the momentum on our side. I think that's a realistic statement. I feel it in my bones, and it just feels good. You can tell by visiting with people everywhere that they're coming around. And I hope there's some Democrats in this audience and some independents, because we're talking about a philosophy. We're talking about a philosophy for America, and it applies to all of us, whether Republicans or Democrats or independents. And I just happen to believe that this time, that in 1976, we have the right philosophy for all America, the great majority of Americans, and a great many Democrats and independents in this state are going to vote for President Ford because of his philosophy. And I hope there's some in this audience. Now, I know also that polls don't elect anybody. They make you feel good, and I felt good all day. I have a little trouble in my voice ever since our debate with Mondale and Houston, standing in that draft for 75 minutes. And breathing all that liberal air that was floating around in there didn't do much for my voice. But my words still come out, and I say the same thing in Bakersfield I say everywhere else. We don't have a different speech for different crowds, as Governor Carter said one day. He likes to shade his policies to suit the audience. Well, he's got a lot of policies, and we're going to shade our policy on Tuesday to suit Governor Carter. And we think he's doing very well, and we want him to continue in his work, whatever it is. But the important thing, as you know, is what happens on Tuesday, and I say it very seriously. And if we win, it's going to be because we have faith in the people, because the American people have faith in President Ford and maybe Bob Dole. But I'm not really so important. I'm only number two. As I said in our debate, it's indoor work and no heavy lifting. But I am there to serve the president. I've been on the Senate Agriculture Committee for 8 years. I've been on the House Committee for 8 years. I understand agriculture. I understand the importance of it to all Americans. As I said in my own state, if the consumers of this country are going to wake up someday and understand just how important the farmer is, how important the producer is, and without him, I don't know what we'd do. We're the greatest country on earth. We produce more for more people at less cost than anywhere in the world. And that's because of the productivity and the hard work of the American farmer. And I'm very proud to be a part of the ticket for that reason. Now, I've got a prepared text which I'll touch on, but which I stand behind, not too far behind. I think everybody in this area is concerned about spending. We've heard Governor Carter talk about all these nice new programs, and they have a lot of, you know, really have a lot of appeal. You've never heard him talk about the cost. You've never heard him talk about how they're going to pay for these programs and who's going to pay for these programs. Now, if you read the Democrat platform, you find 65 new or expanded programs. 65. We added up the cost of five of those, and it's $103 billion. If you read the Democrat platform, there are 22 new or expanded federal agencies. This is that man who says he's going to reorganize government. Now, I think the American people, again, regardless of party, want to know how they're going to pay for it. You have to make that decision in your household or in your business, and you'd like to know how we're going to do it. I think there are only one or two ways. If he spends $100 billion as he proposes, and if he balances the budget as he sometimes proposes, he's going to have to take in $100 billion in taxes. Now, he said he's going to do these things, and if he does it that way, that means an increase of roughly $620 in new taxes for a family with an income slightly over the median, and the median's about $14,000. I think you have to ask yourself if you want to send another $620 to Washington. Now, what else can he do? Well, he can spend $100 billion without raising taxes, which means he increased the federal deficit, which means inflation goes sky high, and the value of your dollar goes down, and inflation leads to unemployment, just as surely as Carter's proposed massive defense spending cuts lead to both unemployment and a renewed threat of international aggression by nations which today are deterred by an America which is strong because of President Ford. So I think you've got a choice: higher taxes or more inflation. Now, the only alternative to an assault on your pocketbook under Mr. Carter would be for him to renounce his spending programs. Now, his son's been doing a lot of campaign for him. They've been out telling senior citizens about all these things they're going to do. They don't talk about inflation, which hits the senior citizen first and the worst. But his son told a group of senior citizens that the Carter health plan might not be implemented until Carter's second four-year term. Well, maybe he doesn't stand for the programs he's campaigned for, but if he doesn't, then what does he stand for? And no one is sure. And that is why there'll be no second Carter administration, because there's not going to be a first Carter administration. I don't think you want more taxes and more inflation and more unemployment in a weak America. None of us do. I just don't think he's thought through the problem of running the country. He's been thinking so much about being president, and he wants to be president so badly. And I don't deny someone's ambition. I applaud ambition. There must be some substance there. It seems to me that wherever we look, we find Governor Carter waffling. He said 2 days ago in the morning, early, he was awake. He said, "I think a tax cut's inevitable next year." That was in the morning. By nightfall, he said he wasn't sure. It took him a while to change his mind, but it was changed. I think we like revenue sharing. It does a lot in Bakersfield. It does a lot for the state of California. Governor Carter called it a hoax. He didn't want the states to share in revenue sharing. I guess he doesn't really believe the local people or the state government can spend their money. We need it worked out on a federal level. He wants to break up the oil companies. Now, I know that's very popular in some areas. Say, I want to break up the oil companies, all those rich people. Well, who owns the oil companies? Stockholders. Probably some stockholders in this audience, not rich people. And what about our energy policy? What happens to our energy policy? I think in the short run, it's going to mean chaos. It's not going to mean any more energy. So I would just suggest there's more than a dime's worth of difference between Mr. Carter and President Ford. I think you know better. And on taxes alone, as I said earlier, there'd be about $620 difference on the average. We can look at inflation and unemployment. But finally, let me touch on just one thing that I think ought to be important. I haven't seen Governor Brown. I understand he's getting ready for Governor Carter's visit. He's out working on something else that you're familiar with, right? I would say to the mothers and grandmothers and wives and sweethearts and the young men in this audience, or anyone for that matter who might be subject to the draft, it's sort of a good feeling to stand in American Legion Hall and say, very honestly, that I hope the day comes in America when there is no American Legion. I hope the day comes in America when there is no Veterans of Foreign War, disabled American veterans. I hope we have a record of peace unparalleled in history for 50 or 100 or 200 years. And I'm very proud to be a veteran. But I think most veterans hope that the day will come there are no more veterans. There are no more wars. And I say to the mothers in particular and the wives, your sons or your husband, whatever the case may be, aren't being drafted today. They're not being called away from their job. They're not being taken away from school. And a great deal of this credit goes to President Ford. For the first time in 10 years this year, we've added real growth to our defense budget. Not because we want to spend your money, but because we want peace. And we're respected now by our friends and by our adversaries, potential adversaries, because we're strong. And we're strong because of a strong president. And I think that means a lot. If you have any doubt at all about next Tuesday, think about it. Carter wants a change. Now, he wants to weaken our defense. He wants to cut the defense budget. And Senator Mondale votes against all defense new weapon systems. He votes for every defense budget cut. He's against the B-1 bomber. He's against the space shuttle, the C-5A, the Trident submarine, you name it. And Senator Mondale has voted against it. Now, we want to save money, whether it's agriculture, defense, education, cut out the waste, yes. But let's don't cut out the muscle. I don't want to be number two in the world. I want to be number one for the sake of peace. And that's what we're talking about. That's what President Ford has given this nation. He's cut the rate of inflation in half. We are at peace. We are respected. He's restored respect and dignity to the leadership in this country. One thing about President Ford, he's still the same man he was when he came to Congress. His honesty is unquestioned. He's been investigated more than all of us in this room combined. I guess the only one who still questions his integrity is Governor Carter. Oh, no, Mondale likes to talk about Watergate. That's all he knows. Watergate, Watergate, Watergate. He talks about Watergate everywhere he goes. It's the only issue he has, and it's no good. There's no way that Senator Mondale, whether he stomps and rants and raves or whatever, can drag President Ford into Watergate. He's tried by inference. He always said, oh, I don't mean the President Ford is involved. Then he talks about it for 15 minutes. That's the old liberal trick. So I say, take a look at this man, this honest, decent, open, candid man who's accessible, who's compassionate, and they say we don't care about the unemployed, we don't care about the sick, we don't care about the disabled, we don't care about education. That's not the record. That's not the record. The President sent to Congress a health proposal to cover those who have catastrophic illnesses or long-term illnesses, insurance for those, protection for those people and those families. He's going to send it to Congress the 1st of January, when Congress reconvenes in early January, a tax cut for middle Americans. And he'll do it. He's going to raise, or wants the Congress to raise, your personal exemption from $750 to $1,000. That's tax relief. That's a tax cut. And what does Governor Carter offer? More inflation or higher taxes? Now, Carter said that he didn't think most Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Anybody here doesn't want their taxes lowered? We have a doctor with us. Be glad to check you over. But that's what Governor Carter said. And so I just say finally that it's been a pleasure to be here. I'll admit my bias. I like Gerry Ford. But I've known him for 16 years. I know him to be a man of, as I said, of great integrity and compassion. And a nice man. Someone who could walk into this room and sit down and talk with you. And 1 minute you'd think you'd known him all your life. That's the kind of a man he is. So think about it, and not only vote for us on Tuesday, but if you'll work for us tomorrow, after church, of course, and all day Monday, that's a day and a half, President Ford will work for you and for all Americans and for all America and the free world for 4 more years. Thank you very much. One of the outstanding men in the Congress of the United States, and Congressman Ketchum, I know you're going to keep him there. Thank you very much.
The next Vice President.
Somebody from Russell, Kansas. Thank you. I like to look at the signs before I start. I get ideas that way. Whole or sliced, dough is nice. Well, I'll send that to Mondale. I know you'll like to have that one. Well, it's good to be here. I agree with one sign. I hope you're all drinking your pineapple juice, because it is a lot better for you than peanut butter. For one thing, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, so we can... I've been saying for the last 2 days to wait until next week to buy your peanut butter. It's going to be a lot cheaper. You're going to get it for half price. I talked to Governor Comey before coming out here to get sort of his view of Texas. And he says we're going to win big in the state of Texas because the people are catching on to Carter. And I think that's right. And as the people catch on... As the people catch on, we catch up, and now we've gone ahead and we're going to stay ahead. And if you'll just work the rest of the day and all day Monday for President Ford, he'll work for you for 4 more years, and that isn't a bad trade. I asked the governor, I said, what should I talk about? He said, well... Don't forget to tell them now that Carter and Mondale are for gun control. They don't like that in Midland, Odessa. So I'm going to tell you that. They're for gun control, and we're not. That's one difference to start with. So don't forget to mention the right-to-work laws. They want to repeal the right-to-work laws, and most Texans think you ought to have a right to join or not to join a labor union. It ought to be voluntary. We want to keep your right-to-work law. Said you might mention Proposition 14, too, which is on the ballot out in California, which give labor organizers the right to come on your private property 3 hours a day to organize farm labor. So they won't like that in Midland, Odessa either, so I'm going to mention that. I don't think you want that. And there's nothing to prevent Governor Carter from advocating a federal law that would do what this state law and this constitutional amendment purports to do in the state of California. Because he is. Governor Carter is controlled by organized labor leaders, not working men and women, but labor leaders. In fact, I've said many times, they once asked George Meany to run for president. He said, why step down? Why step down? But I want to talk to you just 1 or 2 minutes, because I really appreciate your coming out on a Sunday. We're going to win this election. We're ahead, and we're winning. We're going to win in Texas. We're going to win in New York. We're going to give Carter, I think, maybe the District of Columbia. He may carry the District of Columbia. We may get all the other states in the nation the way it's going now. Now, that might be just a bit optimistic, but, we are optimistic. I talked with Dick Cheney this morning with the president, and they were just very enthusiastic, and it's moving, and it's there. But let me say this. I come from the state of Kansas. In fact, I met a lot of Kansans here this morning who were in the oil patch in Kansas. Now they're down here in Midland, Odessa. And I think I understand a lot about not your problems, but about the positive things about the oil industry that apparently Mondale never heard of and Carter never heard of. I think the oil industry is important. First of all, because it provides energy for all America, but secondly, it provides jobs for a great many Americans. And what would Senator Mondale do, for example? He likes to play politics, as he does with everything else. I understand now he's, in the last couple of days, trying to dredge up Watergate again. That's all he knows. Watergate, Watergate, Watergate. He ought to think about something else. There are a lot of issues in this campaign, but he'll have time to reflect on those after the election. He's not going to be very busy doing anything else. Let's take a look at Senator Mondale's energy record, because Carter says we're compatible, and Mondale would be just a heartbeat away from the presidency. His first contribution was trying to break up the oil companies. That may be good politics. I don't think it's a very good substitute for a lot of jobs in America. It doesn't assure us any more energy, but it's politics, and it's pure politics. And so he's for breaking up the oil companies. How many jobs would that take away in Midland and Odessa? Probably most of them. And that's his solution to the energy crisis. He also wants to take away the depletion allowance. And how much would that slow down the exploration and development of oil and gas? A great deal, a great deal. He also wants to freeze prices and roll back prices instead of having deregulated prices of gas and oil. Now, what would that do for America? Nothing. He also voted to delay the construction of the Alaska pipeline for 14 months. He said he wanted more study after it had already been studied for 4 years. Now, that's his record. That's only part of it, because I don't have time to go through how bad it really is when it comes to energy. But is that the kind of a man you want to be vice president? I don't think so. And I don't think America thinks so. And so I say, take a hard look. Take a hard look. And rather than put the rest of the country out in the cold, I think we ought to put Carter and Mondale out in the cold on Tuesday. Last time I was in Texas, I had a little debate with Mondale, and I picked up a cold standing in the draft for 75 minutes. That liberal air kind of gets to you after a while. But I'm getting over it. But I really believe we need men like Jim Reese and Vic Shackelford there to help us, too, in January. Don't forget that. We need some conservative members of Congress. I would think anybody running for Congress in the state of Texas who supported Governor Carter would be and should be in deep trouble. If they're trying to convince you to vote for Carter, you ought to take a look at their records. Because I just suggest that Governor Carter is not good for the state of Texas. Governor Carter is not good for the state of Kansas, my own state.